reaction to this. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you just for this time together. Thank you for our pastor and his wife and Sandy and the whole group that went to Guatemala and the work that they're going to be doing there, and the young kids from our youth group, our teenagers, Lord, and how you'll be using them. And we thank you, the impression that you'll leave on their hearts so that as they return, it impacts their life, Lord, going forward to continue to be of service, and especially with your purpose in mind. And we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you. I yield myself to you as a vessel just to speak your word, Lord, and not my own. So we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So sometimes things happen and they don't happen the way you anticipate that it's going to happen, but that's okay. God is still in control, right? So our message today is, I kind of had this idea based on Desperately Seeking Susan. How many of you guys have seen that movie, Desperately Seeking Susan? Okay, it's probably not enough people to have seen it, but so I might have to explain a little bit about it, because I know some of the younger generation, they think, well, what is that, and who was in that? I don't know who Madonna is. Well, they probably do know who Madonna is, but they may not know who the other character was, Rosanna Arquette. But anyway, so just to give you a little background, what motivated me with this was because of the story. And you see how Joe did that? That fantastic picture right there. Just kind of the same type of idea from the movie, from the poster for the movie. And I thought that was pretty cool when he emailed and told me he can do that. I was like, what? I said, that's great, Joe. You know, Joe and Karen are my heroes. I can tell you that right now. They help you get through a lot when you're preparing for a Sunday morning service. It's so much to do besides just putting notes down on a piece of paper. I mean, you got this, you got the programs, and they really help you out with that kind of stuff, and I appreciate them, and I wanted to say that publicly so that they would know that. And also, I appreciate our sound guys, and I appreciate all of you, because so many people have, even when seeing me this morning, they came up, hugged me, showed me love. Kenny, go get him. You know, it's going to be okay. And, you know, it's almost like, oh, man, is it not going to be okay? But anyway, in the story, she was, like a bored housewife, and she was connecting with this young lady who was kind of wild, but she was connect. They didn't have social media at that time, so she was connecting with her through like a magazine type article or something like that. You know how people used to put notes in magazines or newspapers, and you can almost talk to each other that way. And I've never done it, but I know people that do, or that have. And so that was kind of the story. And then she really got caught up because she put an ad in a newspaper and said, "Hey, Desperately Seeking Susan, I'm going to be at this place." And so the housewife she was interested and went after her and kind of checked everything out and got caught up. And people, it was mistaken identity, it was some amnesia involved, and it was just a whole thing without going into the whole movie, because it might take me about an hour to tell the whole story. But you know, this is the kind of thing I was thinking about in terms of our relationship with God. Something that we need to pursue God in a way that's even more than that. Thinking about the word desperate, when you think about that word, word that stands out the most is like hopeless, like you're hopeless and you're like desperately in need. But I saw one part of the definition that I thought was really good, and it was extreme intensity. And I was thinking, man, that's what we need in terms of our pursuit of God, our seeking God, extreme intensity. So just thinking about this, I'm going to try a joke here. Now, I will tell you this, I don't think I need to loosen you guys up, but I know that, you know, when comedians do jokes, they go to places where they call them the workout room. And so they have a chance to go into that room and just try these jokes out and kind of see how they work. And sometimes they don't work. But I'm here at church, so I'm thinking, even if it doesn't work, just laugh. Humor me a little bit, you know, just laugh. I'm going to try this. Okay. So one day a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. They picked one scientist to go and tell him that they were done with him. So they picked this one guy and they said, "You go tell him." And he's like outnumbered, so I can't imagine what his mind was thinking, but he has to go tell God we're done with him. So the scientist walked up to God and said, God, you know, and he probably ducked a little bit, not knowing what was going to happen. He said, God, we decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and we can do miraculous things. So why don't you just go and get lost? Just go on. So God listened patiently. He listened patiently and kindly to this man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well. He said, how about this, though? Let's have a man-making contest. To which the man replied, okay. You know, thinking we've done miraculous things. We can clone people. Sure, let's do it. But God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. And the scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and he grabbed a handful of dirt. And God just looked. He looked at him and he said, no. You go make your own dirt. so you got, okay, that's a humor laugh. Okay, yeah. I tried. It was just something I saw, and I thought it would be kind of funny. Okay, so desperately seeking God, or seeking Jesus, I should say. In Isaiah chapter 5, or chapter 55, if Joe puts it up there, yeah. Now, it says verse 7, but I'll deal with verse 7 later, so I'm just going to do verse 6. It says, seek the Lord while you can find him, and call upon him while he is near. And what this is talking about, it's implying that God is always near. You know, the truth is God is an omnipresent being. So God is here with us now. So it's not like we seek God because he's lost, but we're seeking him because we want to find him in the different situations in our life. I love one example. I was talking to my wife, Carla, and we were just talking about this week, and I thought it was a pretty good example. She was talking about, how many of you guys now, maybe you millennials might not remember this. Millennials, Generation X, Generation, what is the other generation? G, I don't know. The younger generation, they may not know this, but there was a time, and this is going back again, you know, there was a time where in the newspapers or, you know, they always had, you guys remember Where's Waldo? You guys remember that? How many of you guys remember Where's Waldo? I just want to see. Oh, okay. All right. So it's like that. You know, they put this photo out, and you got to try to find Waldo in the photo. So everybody's really into it. I guess for the millennials, it would be like, you know, like the Pokemon thing where people are going around with their phones. Have you ever seen people doing that? They're walking around with their phones. They're in parks, and they're holding it up. And I mean, you would probably think it was crazy if you didn't know that they were looking for Pokemon. But it's that type of thing. And in thinking about that, that's how we should be in our relationship with God as far as our seeking God. We should be that desperate to find him. And in thinking about seeking him, this is a promise from God to us that we will find him. And that's the great thing about it. He's always there, but he wants us to find him. He wants us to find him. We have situations that take place in our lives where he wants us to call upon him. Now look at this. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, I did give you that one, right, Joe? Okay. There. It says, chapter 10, verse 4 says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. The wicked man does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Now, we've all probably been there at some point in our lives, you know, where I can remember as a young person, I thought, you know, I was invincible. I mean, not consciously, but, you know, that's how you live your life as a young person. You do things where you take risk and you think, you know, I'm going to be okay. This is going to be all right. And I never thought about, you know, that I needed God in my life at certain points. And I never thought about, you know, that I would ever have any serious health issues. You don't think about that when you're young. I mean, I really thought, like, every time I think back to it, I used to tell people all the time, I'm going to live to be 110 years old. That's what I used to tell them. And but then you think about it, man, that's pretty old. I mean, and if you can live that long, that's great. But, you know, I now think differently since I've gone through several health issues. But just in thinking about that, it's if I lived that long, I'd want to be able to do some things. I wouldn't want to, you know, be at a place where I couldn't do anything. But so let's look at this. There's some questions. There's three questions I'm going to ask today. And the first one is, why do we need to seek Jesus? Why do we need to seek Jesus? And the first scripture we're going to use in that first it says, because he wants us to know him personally. That's going to be the fill-in in your notes. I like the way Joe put that up there. I didn't expect that. But he wants us to know him personally. So that's one reason why we seek Jesus. So in Acts 17, in verses 22 through 28, Paul, in this situation, he was in Athens, and he was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people there in Athens. And to them, this was a strange thing. They thought his message was strange, and they said, where is this guy coming from? What is going on? Because if you guys know Athens is in Greece, and, you know, they believed a lot of mythology, you know, Greek mythology. And if you ever go to Athens, you see all these different temples to the different Greek gods and goddesses and things like that. And Paul was, they decided, you know, let's take Paul before the council because this man, we don't understand what's going on and what he's talking about. And this is what Paul said to them. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, and sometimes I when I read this, I kind of imagine myself in this situation sitting there and kind of hearing Paul give this speech. And he says, men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. And he said, this God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. Sometimes we forget about that, but that's pretty deep, huh? God has no needs. So human hands can't serve his needs. He has no needs. For he himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And it's just like really a deep statements that Paul is making here about God. He determined their boundaries. But then this is the best part about it. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. He is not far away, or he's not far from any one of us. So that's the funny thing. God is not far from any one of us. And this was all a part of his purpose. In every day of our lives, that's when you read through the Bible, there are so many scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, that talk about seeking God or seeking Jesus. There's so many. It says here, says, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your old poets have said, we are his offspring. So when I read that, that's talking about God's desire for a relationship with us. God wants us to be his friend. He wants us to be his friend. Write that down. Write this down. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. That's a deep thought. You know how sometimes we are, I don't know if you guys ever felt this, but you know, sometimes when you meet a celebrity, you kind of, you know, feel like you like to connect with them and be friends with them or something. But a lot of times celebrities don't have time for new friendships. They're moving on. Like I hope they don't watch this, but I grew up where I grew up. I don't know if you guys remember. You guys remember Urkel from Family Matters? Well, his uncle was my best friend growing up. So I knew Jaleel when he was a baby all the way up. And it's funny, as he got older and I saw his career blossom and he got into acting and he got that part on Family Matters. I hadn't seen him in a long time, right? So one day Carla and I, we had a friend visiting in town and we said, let's take him to go see Family Matters. You know, they would be excited about this. So we took him to the show and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I haven't seen Jaleel in years and I didn't think I would really have a chance to talk to him. And as we were walking to our seats, I looked and I see two seats like right where we are passing by that were saved for Jaleel's mother. And I go, wow, this, you know, Gail White. I said, that's Jaleel's mother. I was telling Carlo, I know her, you know. And so then I was waiting to see if she was going to sit in those two seats because we were like a few rows back. And all of a sudden I see her walking down where they do the taping. And I call her. I go down to the gate and I call her and I tell her to come here. And she comes over and she looks at me. She hadn't seen me in years. And after we start talking, she said, oh, yes, Kenny, I remember you. And she said, oh, come on, I want you to go backstage with me. And so I had to tell Carla, I said, I'll be right back. She's taking me backstage. And so we go backstage and we go into Jaleel's dressing room. And she was taking me back to see his father because I've known his father, you know, for years. And so his father, as soon as he saw me, he knew me right away. He said, hey, Kenny, what's going on? Sit down. So I sat down and I started talking to them. And I'm missing the taping of the whole show, Carla and my daughter Sarah and the other guests, they're out there having a good time. And I'm missing the show and I'm in here. And so Jaleel runs in the dressing room and, you know, and he looks at me. He's like, who's this? And I explained to him who I am. He said, oh, yeah, okay. But he really probably didn't remember because, you know, it's been years. But it was really kind of one of those things. So then afterwards, you know, I introduced them, you know, to Jaleel and to some of the other actors, or I had Gail introduce them. And then, so we leave, and Gail gives me this phone number to call her. You know, yeah, anytime, you know, we can get together or whatever. So I'm like, okay. So, you know, weeks go by. I said, let me call Gail. So I call her, and the number, I get a voicemail. I leave a message, and I don't hear from her. Now, Gail, if you end up seeing this tape one day, I'm not offended. I'm just saying. So, you know, I'd call her again, leave a message, I don't hear from her. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's really strange. But she had told me, she said, I have to give you this number, because it wasn't like her home phone number or a cell number, but it was just a number that they used to, you know, when they give their number out, you know, she told me it was like a celebrity thing. So a lot of times, the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times, you know, we desire situations like that, and it just doesn't work out the way we think. You know, but one of the blessings that we have a connection with the greatest of all time, Jesus Christ. I mean, he's known worldwide. He's probably the biggest celebrity you can be connected to. And, you know, though he may not show up personally and we see him right here, standing here and that type of thing, but there's a day coming when he will know our name and he will call our name. And that is the greatest thing we can have. So that's why this opportunity now on this earth is here for us to seek him. Because we may not have the time. At a certain point, our time of seeking is going to run out. So let's do all that we can right now to seek him and be friends with him. In John 15:15, it says, Jesus said this. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, in thinking about this friendship thing, I thought, well, you know, I wanted to give you guys 11 signs of a genuine friendship. And this isn't in your notes, but it'll be up on the screen. Okay? And when you read this, you can kind of see how God is that way with us. You know, but we need to be that way with each other. Because, I mean, in some of these situations, you know, we don't have to worry about God on. But number one, it says, they push us to be more accepting of ourselves. Our friends, a true, genuine friendship pushes you to be more accepting of yourselves. And I feel like that's something that God does with us. He pushes us to be more accepting of ourselves because we all struggle with that. And if you struggle with that, there is a group for that at CR on Friday nights at 6:30. Join us. Number two, they call us out when we're in the wrong. I mean, that's a good friend right there, huh? Call you out. Now, most of us husbands can probably relate to that, right? We have our best friend right there. Yeah, huh? Call you out. My wife has no problems calling me out. Thank you very much. Okay, number three, they're present. Isn't God present? I mean, if a lot of times we don't think he is, but he is. He's present with us. But we need to think about that. We need to think about, in no matter what situation we're dealing with in our lives, God is with us. He's always there. He feels our pain. He understands our experience. He's there. Number four, they really listen. If you really take the time, and this is something we need to do, it's hard for us a lot of times as human beings. Our human sin nature, the Bible says, is an enemy of God. Our human sin nature is an enemy of God. So that's why a lot of times we all have a struggle in our relationship with him. It's hard to take the time to think, oh, you know, I need to pray or I need to do this or that. But that's because we're fighting against a nature that does not want to have anything to do with God. But God really listens if we take the time to sit down and talk to him. He really does. Number five, they support us through adversity. Genuine friendships, genuine friends support you through adversity. And I want you to know God will support you through adversity. He's there with you in those moments. Number six, they keep our stress in check. And if you're stressing, God will definitely help you in that area. He will help you in that moment. Sometimes you need to step back and sit down and just be quiet before him, and he can help you with that. Number seven, they keep us humble. You know, every time I think about a friend that keeps me humble, I think about Richie Sinner. You know, I called him out. He didn't know I was going to do that. But see, hey, a good friend calls you out. So Richie Sinner sitting right back there. I was looking for a moment when I can mention his name. But you know, he's a good brother. He keeps me humble. Right, Richie? But Jesus will take care of us in that way, too. Number eight, they have our backs even when life gets tricky. Wow. They have our backs even when life gets tricky. Jesus has our back when life gets tricky. And some of you can probably think about friends that have your back during that time. Number nine, they make the friendship a priority. Now, that's what we need to do with Jesus. Now, he does that with us, but we need to make our friendship with him a priority every day. Number 10, they practice forgiveness. And that's something we definitely can learn from God, practicing forgiveness. And then number 11, they make us want to be better people. And that's genuine friendships right there, and that's what they do. Jesus calls us friends, meaning because of our love relationship with him, that he's able to reveal to us his heart. You know, and if we have a love relationship with Jesus, we tap into that. Every time I listen to someone speak, and I'm hoping that I get to that place one day, but I listen to people speak when they talk about Jesus and they talk about the gospel, and this is no reflection, because some people I hear a great message, you know, but then every once in a while somebody stands out and you go, man, that person's been with Jesus. And it just kind of comes out of them that they've been with Jesus. And, you know, so if you ever stand up here and speak like I am, you know, Just be with Jesus, that's all. David's been with Jesus. Jim has been with Jesus. And I love that when I'm able to hear in what they share that they've been with Jesus. Okay, so the next question is, what does it mean to seek Jesus? What does it mean to seek Jesus? Now, if you guys look up here, did you notice, am I rocking a lot? Because my wife says I rock a lot, you know, when I talk. So until I grab the podium, then I don't rock anymore. So she'll probably tell me about it later, yeah, you were rocking. So she keeps an eye on everything I'm doing. I actually made a sheet for her that I'm going to give her when we get home so she can critique the whole message. She didn't know about this, but I actually have it laying on my desk at home, and I'm going to hand it to her. I'm going to let her go through it and let me know so I can see where I came up short. So, I'm just messing with her. That's the one thing I love about this church is that we get to mess with each other a lot. We have a lot of fun here. Okay, so where were we? Oh, what does it mean to seek Jesus? Number two, and it says Jesus wants us to engage in and with him. How about that? I was looking up that definition and I saw engage come up. And you guys know about the engage ministry here at our church. I want to put in a plug for that because I want to continue to, this is a ministry that you can give a little bit of time to, just a little bit of time. And we had a Hope Gardens Day yesterday, and I know June, and they did an art class there with the youth there, and it was fantastic. We had about 9 volunteers that went with them, and that was fantastic. And June, the work you're doing, man, we appreciate it, man. Keep it going, brother. It's all Jesus. I know it's all Jesus. But just to kind of put a little plug in for you guys to just remember the Engage Ministry and consider at some point being a part of it. You know, sign up for some of the outreaches that we have. So, John Piper says, in both the Old and New Testament, it says that regarding seeking God, that we are to set our mind and heart on God. It is a conscious fixing or focus of our mind's attention or our heart's affection on God. And so just in looking up some other definitions about seeking, one of the things that stood out was it's like we're investigating God. But then I even like these next two even more. We're craving God. We're craving him. And we're worshiping him. So worshiping him is a part of seeking. You know, that's a part of it, to worship God. Now, I don't know if we have a great time of worship here at church, but God wants us to worship him every day in our lives. It's not even just singing songs, but it's how we live is a worship unto God. If we really look at the things that we do, let's do those things as a worship unto him. Let's be conscious of that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, it says, sometimes my mind goes to the King James Version because I was raised on that for so long. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. So the question is, how do you do that? I think about that a lot of times when I would read that scripture. How do I set my mind on this? Well, there are basic things that we do all the time. That's a start, you know, having a time of worship, you know, having a time of prayer and communicating with God, reading the scriptures. Those help us in that sense of setting our minds on things above, because that's where Jesus is. We want to be thinking about Jesus in different ways. So it's a way of living. But now that's something that you would have to ask Jesus about in your own life. I don't want to give you instructions on that. Those are the basics, but God can evolve that in your life in whatever way, you know, for you personally, because that's you're going to have a personal relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. One of the things that Jim says always is that we ask Jesus to invade our lives. And that's something that we can do whenever we wake up in the morning. We can say, Jesus, invade my life today. Rick Warren said, This was an interesting quote by him. He said, when we persistently pray, it keeps our focus on God. And he said, the greatest gift that we can give anyone is our attention. So praying, even a lot, he was talking about how a lot of times we have circumstances in our lives that cause us to pray and seek God. And God is there and available to help us in that, but he wants our attention. He wants our attention, no matter what we're dealing with. He wants our attention. He wants us to call out to him. I remember when I was going through, I went through two bouts with cancer. And I remember the first time was the toughest situation to me because, like I said earlier, you know, as a young person, I just thought, man, I'm indestructible, man. I'm invulnerable. I didn't consciously think that, but every time I went to the doctor, I expected a good report. But when the cancer situation happened, it was huge. It was a huge, just setback to me. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was done. And I felt myself starting to slip into early stages of depression. But I remember during that time crying out to God because I did not want to go out that way. I said, if I'm going to go out, I'm not going out depressed. I said, I can't go out like that. I said, I've got to fight through this, and so I can go out fighting with hope and with joy in Jesus. I said, and so I cried out to him. I said, Lord, you got to give me a word. You got to give me a song. You got to give me something because I cannot be like this. And I said, especially for my wife, for my kids, I don't want them to see me finish like this. I want to finish strong. And God was faithful. You know, he gave me a song. I can't remember the song now. It's been a while. But he gave me a song. He gave me, he spoke to my heart through the doctors and just gave me hope. And I was able to face that situation, go into the surgery with hope and confidence in him. And God brought me through that. And then the second time was the same thing. He brought me through it. The second time, now I had some experience, so I was more hopeful. But I still needed him to encourage me in that way, and he did. And I'm thankful today that I'm standing here in front of you guys. I'm healthy. I go to the doctor, and he's given me a good report, and I'm thankful for that. But it's those moments where we got to fight through it. We got to know that God is in control and that he's there for us as we seek him. He will be found in those situations we deal with. Jesus is there. He has things he's going to show us about himself during those rough times in our lives. But we got to seek him. We got to seek him. So number three. All right, I'm trying to get close to wrapping this up. Number three, what are the benefits of seeking Jesus? Well, it says when we do our part, Jesus is faithful to do his part. Jesus is faithful to do his part. In Hebrews, this is like a scripture that everybody has thought about when it comes down to seeking God. It says, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, in light of that, what are the benefits? You know, I think a lot of times about the story, and a lot of things I'm saying today, I don't know what the young people will think about this, but I know some of you guys. You guys, how many people love Lucy? You know, you watch I Love Lucy. I haven't watched it in a while, but I used to watch it so much it was crazy when I was young. But I remember one time Lucy, they had a situation, and Ricky was trying to say something. He was trying to say benefit, but he didn't know how to say it, so he was like, Ben, he was saying something. She grabbed his mouth and was shaping his mouth and getting him to say it right. Benefit. It was kind of weird how it happened, but it was funny. I thought it was a real funny situation how she did it, but the benefits of seeking Jesus, the first benefit to seeking Jesus that I have here is we discover more of Jesus. We discover more of Jesus. You can write this scripture down, 1 Chronicles 28:9. One of the points that it talks about is that the Lord searches all the hearts and understands every plan and thought. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. That's a promise. He will be found by you. Seek him. If you search for him with your whole heart, he will be found by you. I encourage you in this. Whatever situations you guys, we're always facing challenges every day. Those challenges that are on your mind right now, seek him, and he will be found by you in that. John Piper said that one of the greatest rewards that we get from seeking God is God himself. Jesus is our greatest reward when we seek him, because you know what it is? He rubs off on us. You know, Rick Warren talks about how when we pray, we're praying for something, but while we're praying, he's working on us. So Jesus is rubbing off on us when we spend that time praying about things that we're concerned about. Because a lot of times we want things to happen the way we want it to happen. Sometimes we view God, we have different views of God, and we teach our guys. I work at Union Rescue Mission, and the guys that are there, they're in the program, and they're in our recovery program there from whatever they're recovering from drugs and alcohol to life. And so the first stage of that recovery is them learning about God, because the key is them learning how do you view God? Because a lot of times we get a warped view of God. A lot of us see God like a genie. Some of us see God like a police officer. Some of us see God like Santa Claus. You know, because of the different things they do, we kind of view God that way. But we need to look at what the Word of God says and what the Scriptures tell us about God so we can have a proper view about God, because we get disappointed if the genie doesn't, you know, answer our wish. You know, we get disappointed if we don't get that gift or if he's hard on us. Some people see God like Zeus. You know, he's going to throw a lightning bolt down on you, you know. And, you know, so we have these warped views of God. And so we got to go to the Scriptures so that we can have a proper view of God. The next one is Jesus takes care of all our needs. Jesus takes care of all our needs. You can write this scripture down, Matthew 6:33 and Psalms 34:10, because they talk about, number one, Matthew talks about how when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added, talking about the things he spoke in the scripture before. They were needs of clothing or food. And then Psalms talks about how you'll lack no good thing if you seek God. And it's just a reminder as you're going through this, you can turn to those scriptures for those promises. And then the next one is we grow in our faith towards him. We grow in our faith towards him. And this scripture in Psalms 40:16, it just kind of talks about when we seek God, we're able to rejoice and be glad, and that if we love, by loving the salvation that he gives us, we continually say, great is the Lord. And that's what we want to be able to say every day. Great is the Lord, our faith towards him. The next one is his character gets worked in us. And I was speaking about that earlier when Rick Warren said, when we pray, we're praying about something. But see, God, he thinks differently about things than we do. We focus one way, but he's doing something totally different. You know, we might think, God, you're not answering my prayer, but really he is answering your prayer, but he's doing it in a different way. And so God, he's working his character in us. In Psalms 119, verse 2 through 3, it talks about, blessed are those that keep his testimonies and who seek him with a whole heart and who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. The next one is, we love others in a deeper way. And even earlier in John 15, when it talked about being Jesus calling us friends, even before that, he was telling us, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The key to that is staying connected to him. That's going to be the key to us loving each other. So as we're seeking him, that's what we're doing. We're staying connected. We're staying connected to the vine, and that, as a result, that gives us what we need to be able to love others. I was thinking about a friend of mine. Recently, we had a tragic situation. I'm going to try to get through this because I know we're getting close. But a friend of mine, her name's Dolly Martin Lovelace, She passed a few weeks ago. She was hit by a car. And some of you know, we've shared the story with some of you. But the blessing about her life, it's a tragic situation. I mean, she left behind her husband, one of my best men in my wedding, Kevin, and their two sons, Adam and little Kevin. And one of the things about her story, and I didn't know anything about how this would turn out, but God used her life. She was an example of someone who was connected to Jesus because she impacted a whole community. She was a nurse, and she impacted the whole community of West Covina. They had a prayer vigil for her, and 300 people showed up. And then at her memorial, they did a video of all the people that she worked with and the impact that she had on them. I mean, it's one of those things where you think about it and you realize she really has lived out what John 15 was talking about. I mean, she was the friendship she had with God impacted the people around her. And I mean, she impacted them for the kingdom of God, because every one of her coworkers talked about her relationship with God and how much it meant to them. And it was such a moving time to be a part of that and to experience it. Of course, we miss her dearly, but I didn't even know her life was having that much of an impact on that many people. I mean, I knew she loved Jesus, but wow, you know. And all I can think was, wow, she did what God put her on this earth to do. And I pray that we all do the same. I want to encourage us all to have that kind of impact. Connect with him so that we can impact the lives of others for his kingdom. Because sometimes what it is, we try to work it up. But if we just stay connected to him, we don't have to work it up. He's going to rub off on us, and it's going to flow through us. And that's what I saw from the stories that were told about her. It was just that impactful. You know, it's not anything we need to be afraid of. If we're connected to Jesus, it's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. The next one, as we're bringing this to an end, he's our help in times of trouble. He's our help in times of trouble. And you can write down Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes we forget about this kind of thing. When we struggle with different things, we forget about the Bible. And maybe in some cases, you know, maybe some people don't care. But for us, just an encouragement, the scriptures are there to encourage us in those times. If we can catch ourselves, as the enemy does not want us to think about it. He wants us to be mindless. And we need to be mindful and thinking about, okay, what am I dealing with right now? Jesus, I need you on this. And he will direct you. He will show you some scriptures to encourage you, or whatever the case may be. You can search him out. Search him out. The last one on this is, we receive his mercy and forgiveness. And I have 2 Chronicles 7:14 for that, that talks about that if my people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. And also Isaiah 55:6-7, that was the verse 7 I didn't bring up earlier, but it said that, let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and turn to our God, for he forgives generously. And so, in light of that, what have we learned from this? In review, our review is, number one, Jesus wants to be your friend. And that's just simple. That's all Jesus wants. And if you ever go through the scriptures, just look up the word seek and see how many scriptures come up about seek. You know, or look up different words that are relational like that, and you'll see that God is constantly trying to connect with man, to have a relationship with him, and that's what he wants with us. And we just need to explore, how does that work for us every day, to where it impacts us in a way that we can impact others. Number two, engage in Jesus and with Jesus. And so he wants us to be active. He wants us to be active in our seeking of him and our living for him. Be active. And then number three, do your best and Jesus will take care of the rest. So do your best. I mean, Jim always says that this is not about perfection, because we know there's no way as human beings we can be perfect. We can't be perfect before God, and God knows that. But just do our best. Do our best, and he'll take care of the rest, and we'll be okay. So let us pursue Jesus with all our heart, and we will find him. We will find him, and that's a promise. So I want to encourage you guys with that today. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you just for this time. I know it's hot, and we had to struggle through this period, but Lord, we continue to pray. Lord, we are praying for an air conditioner here at church. So we thank you. We thank you for meeting that need and being able to cool things down. It was great that to be here today among my family that's here. And Lord, thank you for my family that watched on the internet. I didn't get a chance to mention them earlier, but I thank you for my family that's watching, and I thank you that each and every person received a word from you through this. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.